joined as always by Mwelwa Chivesakunda. Mwelwa, how are you today?
I'm great, Chi. Mm-hmm. I'm great. You know, it's been a fantastic week, and yeah, I'm just glad to be here.
Well, you have a special surprise for for me, but for
I brought you a gift wrapped.
We have with us Miss Loisa Imbata Kakoma. She is joining us from ZCCIMIH, and you are public relations manager. So, Mwelwa, I'm going to allow you to take lead on this one. Is that
all
okay?
Right. Thank you so much. So, you know, basically, Financial Insight has obviously been tracking what's been going on at ZCCIMIH, and we felt that, you know, this show was obviously the right platform to now bring in representatives from the management team, and this is basically going to be the strategy that we're going to use. Loisa, welcome. I know we've been in contact several times over the last year. You guys have been doing phenomenal things, but I think for our listeners, they'll want to know, what is ZCCIMIH all about? You know, could you give us a brief overview?
Absolutely. Thank you, Mwelwa, for inviting me and also to host me on this premier show. I think it's a very important platform to bring out various business issues that are happening within the economy. Talking about ZCCM Investment Holdings, I know a lot of people especially from the Copper Belt province who grew up from there, know this company. It used to be called Zambia Consolidated Copper Mines. Up until 2000, when it was privatized, it was changed into an investment holding company. So it changed it to ZCCM Investment Holdings PLC. So ZCCM doesn't stand for anything. I know right now, even currently, people will refer to us as Zambia Consolidated Copper Mines. We are not Zambia Consolidated Copper Mines, but just ZCCM Investment Holdings.
Really?
PLC.
I actually didn't know that. Yeah. Did you know that?
No,
I didn't know
just
that.
A name at this point.
It's not an acronym. Okay. Just like ZESCO. ZESCO is not Zambia Electricity Supply.
Yes, it's ZESCO.
ZESCO is not
Zambia Electric Supply Company.
Well, no, it's an acronym, but we'll get into that later.
The rebranding happened in 2014. So it's the same with ZCCM.
Exactly, yes. Yeah.
So in 2000, the company was privatized. Right. So the holding part in the name comes from the fact that when the mining entities were sold, they were unbundled and sold off to various private investors. ZCCM returned minority stake in this company. So the holding part, that's where the holding part comes from.
Right.
Investment. Obviously, we are an investment company. We're a premier diversified investment company in Zambia. The biggest, actually, in Zambia.
And it's a public company, right?
Yes, a public listed.
So they're listed.
Yeah, so do we know the shareholdings, as in who owns how much stake in what right
Absolutely.
Now?
Absolutely. Okay. So we are still currently majority owned by government.
Okay.
So government directly holds about 17.28%.
Through IDC, I'm guessing?
Through the Ministry of Finance. The ministry.
Okay.
And then we have the Industrial Development Corporation, which owns about 60.28%.
Ah.
We also have NAPSA. NAPSA is one of our shareholders.
Pension funds always, you know, jump
so,
in.
Yeah,
as well.
So they have about 15%,
okay.
And then about 7.47% is owned by various individual shareholders.
Nice.
About 4,000 shareholders, individual shareholders,
okay.
Both locally and also internationally because we are a listed company. So we are listed on 3 stock markets.
Brilliant.
So we have a primary listing on the Lusaka Securities Exchange. Mm-hmm. That's our primary listing. Mm-hmm. And we also have 2 secondary listings. The other one is in Paris,
okay.
In France, on the Euronext Axis Stock Exchange. It's an alternative market.
Okay.
Then we have our listing. It's a legacy listing on the London Stock Exchange.
Mm, mm.
So these are our 2 secondary listings. So we're a public listed company. And also part of the IDC group. Obviously, the IDC group has oversight over state-owned enterprises,
yes.
Seeing that
right.
Government majority owns ZCCM Investment Holdings.
Okay, that's absolutely great. And, you know, I think for our listeners, obviously, you know, when you mentioned that, you know, you became a holding company, they would obviously want to know, like, what sort of industries are you in. Did you completely divorce yourselves from mining? Do you still have something? Maybe just tell us a bit about some of the industries that you guys have invested in.
That's a good question, because our presence, we are largely associated with the mining sector.
Right.
So our portfolio, we have a portfolio of about 15 companies.
Wow.
And more than 90% of those companies are in the copper mining sector. So you have the likes of Kansanshi Copper, Kansanshi Mining PLC, which is the biggest copper producer in Zambia, We own 20% of that. 80% is owned by First Quantum Minerals. We also have Konkola Copper Mines, which we own about 20.6% with our partners Vendata. We have Mopani Copper Mines, we have Chibuluma, we have NFCA, Luansha Copper Mines. So all these, we still have presence within the mining sector. So we hold this minority stake on behalf of the Zambian people, seeing that obviously government.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So we still have presence in the mining sector. So more than 90% of our portfolio is in the copper mining sector. Mm-hmm. Apart from that, we have presence, a key strategic interest in the energy sector through two companies. Mm-hmm. The first one being Mamba Collieries Limited, which is currently producing 300 megawatts thermal power, 300 megawatts, and we own 35% of that company. And we also have 20% in Copper Belt Energy Corporation, which currently obviously is the biggest distributor of power to largely to the mining sector. So we have presence in the energy sector, we have presence in the financial sector. We are the majority shareholders of Investors Bank PLC, which is the only indigenous a bank in Zambia. We have presence also in the gemstone sector and through Kariba Minerals, which we own 50% with our partners Gemfields owning 50%, the other 50%. And Kariba Minerals, as you know, is the largest producer of amethyst in Zambia, the best in terms of color and also grade globally. So we own 50%. So we have presence in the gemstone sector. Largely, those are the sectors that we have present.
That's absolutely fantastic. I mean, you are a true and pure, you know, investment holding company. And, you know, which takes me now to my next question. The dividend, fantastic. I know Margaret Manakwatoe is, you know, Minister of Finance is insisting that SOEs need to be paying, you know, dividends. And it was fantastic to see, you know, your MD, Dr. Pius Kasolo, presenting the check to Mateo Kaluva, head of IDC. Is the SCCM intending to reinvest some of the proceeds of the dividend that they declared this year?
Absolutely. Obviously, the dividend that we declared was for the year 2017, and it was the biggest.
Yes,
within
it was.
The IDC group, that's $13 million.
Yeah, yeah, you dwarfed everybody else, yeah?
Yeah, approximately about 135 million kwacha. And that was for 2017. We have a track record of declaring the biggest dividend. Even in 2014, we declared $40 million, the biggest on the Lusaka Securities Exchange. But even within the IDC group, we are the largest dividend payer. As you've rightly put, we declared a dividend of $30 million, and each shareholder walked away with a share of the cake. And our dividend policy right now for changed from 20% to 35% of unconsolidated net profit after tax.
This is absolutely fantastic.
And yes, so part of the proceeds, the profit that we've made, like coming to your question, we are reinvesting in other projects. I'll talk about one of the projects, the cement plant. Obviously, it's been in the public space for some time.
Yes, yes.
We are setting up one of the biggest cement plant in the country, which will be producing 5,000 clinker daily capacity of cement. And this will be in Masaiti, others will refer it to Ndola, but it will be in Masaiti district. And so some of the proceeds are going to that project. And you know that this project will have its own thermal power plant as well to be producing about.
So that consolidates your position on the energy sector as well. So that means it will be three companies that you have interest in that have energy.
So it will be 50 megawatts. The excess will be obviously be sold to the national utility company. And so that's one of the projects. And another project, we are not divorcing ourselves from the mining sector entirely, but we are diversifying within the mining sector as well, away from copper. As you know, the commodity market is very volatile.
Absolutely.
It's got this cyclical nature to it. Yes. We saw the copper prices taken a nosedive 3-4 years ago, and it affected our assets, so our investee companies in the mining sector, and in turn that affects our bottom line. So we've been trying to diversify our portfolio into other sectors, but also within the mining sector we also diversify into other minerals. So one of the projects we are looking at is investing into a manganese mining project, and we know that manganese is now big, especially in the northern part of the country. There's no, there's not much investors who are mining on a large scale. So we're going into that space. We have a license in Serengeti, and so far we've done preliminary works with regard to that project. So it will be in a phased manner. So the first phase will be about mining the manganese and selling it in its raw form, and we intend to be producing 20,000 tons per month of manganese ore. And at a later subsequent stage, we want to invest into the vertical integration, so obviously setting up a processing plant and adding value to the manganese ore. So that those are some of the projects that we're looking at. Obviously, that we will let the market into other projects that we are looking at as a company.
Absolutely. I mean, it's absolutely fantastic. I mean, my key takeaway from this is that you guys are literally embedded in the economic machinery of Zambia. You guys are not only you haven't restricted yourself geographically, you're literally wherever you can actually create value, you're actually going in there. I'm absolutely impressed with your manganese project, and also going into the cement sector, which is obviously thriving right now because of the infrastructure push that is being made by government. Now, to take you to my next question though, does ZCM have any intentions of adding to its current portfolio? I mean, how's the year been so far? Do you guys see yourselves, investing in additional, new assets? Or are you targeting other industries?
Absolutely. You see, we have a new strategic plan for the next 5 years, 2018, 2023. And obviously, we are not neglecting the current portfolio that we have. We intend, obviously, to extract value. We're going to put in measures that will help us extract value from the current portfolio that we have, but also diversifying into other sectors, key growth sectors of the economy, which I've mentioned, and the first one being energy. Yes. And through some of our investee companies like Mamba Colliery's phase two of the project, to Intel adding, having an additional 300 megawatts. Yes. So in total it will be 600 megawatts. So that's one of the things that we'll be looking into expanding within the portfolio that we have. And also these other projects that I've talked about going into the manufacturing sector. And also one of the sectors that we are looking to increase our foothold is in the real estate. We have some properties on our books where we are right now at ZCMIH office.
And those are beautiful offices. I've been there, and Louisa even offered me some coffee.
I'm glad to hear that.
And it came late.
Come on, people don't have to know about that. So we used to rent offices at Mukuba Pension House, and I've heard people asking, we thought it was your property.
I actually thought it was.
No, yeah. It wasn't. It's not our property. We're actually renting, and so we bought our own property, office property, which it's got three blocks, story buildings. One of them we are renting, one of them we are occupying, and the other two are on lease.
Yes.
So these real estate are all aimed at generating passive income for us. So we also have other properties dotted across the Copper Belt.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, we have legacy properties as well.
Yes.
Which we're trying to look at proper and also put out on the market.
Okay.
But some are already on lease, like Investment House, if you go in Kantanta Street in Kitwe. So
yes.
Real estate also is one of
that
the sectors.
That is a key sector, yes.
It's a key sector.
I mean, you'd never think or imagine that ZCCM, in what we traditionally knew it, would actually be going into real estate. So, job well done to you guys. It's absolutely fantastic. And, it's amazing that, we now have somebody from on the show who can actually tell us about the intricacies of what, you guys have been doing. And I think this now brings me to, my last question is, with all these things that are, going on, does it have intentions of hosting roadshows, in 2019 to bring better awareness to the work that the investment group is doing in Zambia?
Absolutely. We have been doing a number of roadshows, or attending some of them locally and internationally, and all in an effort to obviously, like you've put it, raise awareness about what we're doing as a company. You know, previously when the company was privatized, everyone thought ZCCMH was no more.
Absolutely, yes.
When I joined the company, the first question when I tell people I work for ZCCMH, they'll ask me, "Oh, it still exists.
It still exists. What's remaining?
Okay, yeah.
You guys sold all the mines. I mean,
yes.
But then now here we are. We're hearing that you guys have.
So, then they'll ask, "What is it that you do?" So, okay, now people are more aware that ZCCMH exists. It's the question is, what do you do? So, obviously, it's our mandate to help raise awareness about what we're doing as a company. So, we'll be holding, obviously, local roadshows, investor day events to just bring light on what we're doing as a company, because we'll be doing more in the coming year. There'll
Absolutely.
Be more in terms of investment that we're undertaking as a company. Mm. So we want people to get that information and also support us in whatever we do. Not only that, not only just investment, okay? You know, we also do corporate social responsibility.
Really? Yes, I'd love to hear about that.
Yes.
That was on my list. So what do you do?
Some of the things, it's not just investments,
yes,
but we are a socially responsible investment company.
Yeah.
Everyone who grew up on the Copper Belt, I grew up on the Copper Belt in Chingola.
Right.
So
yes,
we knew what the Zambia Consolidated Copper Mines used to do in terms of CSR activities on the Copper Belt. I benefited from that.
Right.
The company has still carried on building on that legacy. So we have a core project in the CSR aspect, which is dubbed clean water, access to clean water for Zambia.
Okay.
So we drill boreholes in areas, in rural areas which don't have access to clean and safe water. And so far we have drilled boreholes in Eastern Province, in Chingoba Village, in Sinda District. Right now we are running about 7 boreholes. We are doing Daniel Village in Nimba, in Dundumwezi, in Chongwe, in Masaiti, Lufuanyama, and Mungwi. So this is one of the projects that we're doing. It's part of the strategy to raise awareness on about ZCCM investment holdings. So aside from the roadshows locally, attending in all these
conferences yes,
locally and internationally, because you know we are a global company.
You are, and I also think that, you know, your international listing, you know, helps you a great deal. You're the only company that's listed on 3. Zambeef only has 2 listings,
yes.
Luce and you know, the AM.
London
yes, exactly. But you guys are on 3, which is absolutely fantastic.
So we're putting Zambia
on the map.
Yeah. Out there. So
Literally,
even in these international shows, you find that there's no representation. Maybe there's just a representation from 2 African countries.
Yes.
And Zambia is there. And sometimes it's amazing. And people will ask, so where is this country? So
I can imagine, yes.
So we're helping to put Zambia on the map, but also bring light that, look, the investment opportunities available in the country. And definitely ZCCM Investment Holdings strategically positioned as an investment gateway into Zambia's mining sector, energy sector, or any other sector in the country.
Absolutely. No, that's absolutely fantastic. You know, it's great to, you know, hear that, Luis, and you know, thank you so much for coming. Chi, I know, has been, you know, looking for a job.
I was about to ask.
So, you know, I mean, with what Luis has said, you know, with the prospects for 2019 going forward, we're going to see, you know, ZCCM embedding itself in, you know, the economic machinery of Zambia's DNA.
Yeah.
Chi, any question?
Well, yes, a lot, but a lot of them will be unfair because you had no warning at
absolutely,
all.
Absolutely, absolutely.
My questions are only hard-hitting.
Ah, okay.
So
I
think I have a safe question. You talked a lot about the local investments aspect. Is ZCCM interested in regional and international investments as well? Are we ever going to see a rollout of that?
For now, there's a lot. There are lots of the investment opportunities in Zambia. Our strategic focus is Zambia, but through one of our investee companies, which is Copperbelt Energy Corporation, obviously we have a reach, an asset in Nigeria, Abuja, CNC
Africa.
Yes. So that's the only asset we have outside Zambia. But for now, our strategic focus is in Zambia.
Okay. No,
yes.
No, that's fine.
No, fantastic. No, Luisa, thank you so much for coming out. And please send a message to Dr. Pius Kasolo that, you know, Mwelwa Financial Insight is super proud of him. I'll be sending him a bottle of wine at the end of the year.
I'll do that. I'll read it. All right. Thank you.
Thank you
so much. Thank you for hosting me.
All right. Cheers.
All right. Thank you. And we'll be back right after the break.
For business on the go, visit www.moneyfmzambia.com to watch, stream, and download various programs from anywhere in the world.
You're in studio with me, Chilu. This is the Money Night Show, and this is specifically Outside In at Money, where we take a look at publicly listed companies on our local securities exchange. I'm in studio with Mwelwa Chibesakunda. You just conducted a wonderful interview with Miss Loisa. But now let's do what we came here to do.
This is what we do best. People. I mean, Chi and I get high off this. It's amazing. Yeah. There's a lot of fantastic things coming. So today, we decided to switch it up a bit and bring on board some very interesting company.
Okay.
They're semi-juggernauts, because obviously, as you heard from Loisa earlier on, ZCM does pay a very, very handsome dividend.
Yeah.
Today, I'm going to be talking about Zambro. The first company will be Zambro. Okay. And essentially, Zambro has been a company that's been in transition of sorts. Mm. I'll take people back to one of our early articles in May this year, where we published an article called Zambeef Loses Taste for Coca-Cola. That was actually
Zambro.
Yeah. So that was now more or less like the beginning of, you know, the change in terms of the strategy that the company actually had. Now, this particular journey for them started in 2018 October, and with there was the first cautionary announcement that came from Sainz, which is Stock Exchange News Service. Yes, which was made by Zambro on its proposed disposal of the non-alcoholic ready-to-drink business segment of the business. Now, remember, traditionally, your Zambro had, you know, the Coca-Cola segment.
Yes, yes.
But then all of a sudden, following the shareholders being advised on 11th October 2016 that AB InBev Einhauser, or the parent company of Budweiser Beer, had confirmed, you know, receipt of notification from Coca-Cola Company regarding its intention to acquire a stake in AB InBev in Coca-Cola Beverages Company PLC. Mm-hmm. Now, essentially, what this, you know, for us, when we saw this, we actually now realize that, you know, there was change that was coming to Zambro. And I'm sure if people move around, you go to, you know, you go for drinks, etc., you'll all of a sudden notice that, you know, there's visibility for certain products that actually come out of this company.
Yeah.
They had to obviously make room for, you know, your new beers, which is, you know, the Budweisers.
Those
ones are now getting much more visibility. However, you know, Coca-Cola still remains relevant. But Coca-Cola obviously had to have a new home.
Mm.
And essentially that's what happened. So now, when AB InBev obviously acquired the Castle Lager company, you know, SAB Miller, you know, the move by Coca-Cola company would come as no surprise, as ownership was now being realigned in the beverage in business. Essentially, what this meant was, you know, AB InBev buys SAB Miller, which is obviously parent to Zambro, and they would want to focus on particular product lines.
Not Coke,
the non-alcoholic beverages, not so big.
Not so much.
So, you know, that business had to go. So a decision obviously was then now made. So, you know, Zambro was able now to sell Coca-Cola, among other, you know, soft drinks that it actually has.
Do you think it was an arm-wringing thing? Do you think they sold that willingly, or were they kicking and screaming?
No, not. You know, in business, you know, you make certain decisions, but if you've now got a new parent company, you obviously have to align yourselves to the strategy thing. Because, you know, to be honest, AB InBev has no business managing Coca-Cola.
Managing Coke.
Yeah, they had no business. They don't have experience in that.
So you're not necessarily unhappy with them?
No, I'm not. I mean, this is a very, very strategic move. And, you know, kudos to the management team for making that particular decision. Now, it was the mechanics of the deal that was obviously very interesting to Financial Insight. Essentially, once Zambro was able to sell Coca-Cola, there was a bottler's agreement that had to be entered into with the Coca-Cola company. Now, the Coca-Cola company is obviously like this, you know, the big parent company that overlooks.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So basically, the Coca-Cola company issued a state, well, rather made a request to Zambro. with an intent to actually terminate the bottlers agreement that was there.
Because essentially,
yes, exactly. So shareholders were subsequently advised by AB InBev and the Coca-Cola company that they reached an agreement in principle for them to acquire the non-alcoholic ready-to-drink business. So essentially, Papa came home and, you know, picked up its kids. So this is, you know,
when the Coca-Cola company.
So this, all of this happened, you know, the deal itself was the discussions for the deal started sometime in October 2016. But obviously it had reached fruition by this year. So because, you know, deals of such magnitude obviously require, because you obviously need to ring fence the various businesses, and, you know, you've got your lawyers, transaction advisors that actually come in. Now, once the deal was sealed, we now bring you now to fast forward, because rather whilst the deal was now being, you know, implemented, we then now took you now to May this year. We take you to May this year. Essentially, Zambrew then now announced that it had entered into a master purchase agreement, an MPA, with Coca-Cola Holdings Africa, who were indirectly a subsidiary of the Coca-Cola company. Mm-hmm. So they'd obviously now made a deal now and finally found a new home for it. So they'd agreed to dispose of the business, which include the manufacturing, distribution, and marketing and selling of Coca-Cola. So at that particular point, you know, everybody was happy. The deal, you know, was done. But, you know, it's obviously, you know, no brainer to understand that, you know, Coca-Cola was obviously embedded in, you know, Zambrew's DNA, and, you know, so certain steps obviously had to be taken in terms of separating, because you know how it is. If you can be selling alcoholic beverages and non-alcoholic beverages, you probably have cross team meetings.
Exactly,
you probably have one channel for distribution of everything. So all of that now needed to be separated. So that's why this, you know, this transition took a bit of time. But in order to achieve that, and you know, many of our I'll have our listeners know that what companies would tend to do is that they'll have a vehicle of sorts that can actually that operates within the company that allows them to achieve this. And in this particular case, Zambrew actually created a company called SoftCo. Now, SoftCo basically was now more like a transition company where they could now move all their soft assets, which is your Coca-Colas, all the soft drinks that could now be managed by this, you know, SPV. And the sole purpose of the SPV now was now to obviously fulfill, you know, the master purchase agreement. Yes. So you've got another legal entity within the legal entity, which is more or less like a subsidiary, but it's got a specific purpose to actually help close off the deal. So that was absolutely, you know, that was absolutely fantastic.
Did we see any changes on their share price when this was happening?
You know what? The interesting thing is, you know, no. But, you know, like I said,
that's weird, isn't it?
It is really weird. Mm. But like I said, you know, some of the things that actually move the share prices on Lucy are not necessarily things like mergers and acquisitions.
Okay.
In actual fact, it actually is supposed to, you know, happen. But then I think this is an issue that we're going to touch on next week, especially when we look at the index. And, you know, discussing the index will actually tell us, you know, some of the issues that actually affect, you know, issues of liquidity on the stock market. Yeah. So now, just to wrap up on Zambrew, they obviously published their half year results, and these ones obviously came out sometime in August. So essentially, you know, the company ended up selling 13% more beverages by volume, and you know, obviously, you know,
and this is including the new Budweiser stock.
Yes, and there's been a huge push, and I'll be curious to see what their annual report looks like, because obviously they've spent a lot of money in terms of brand visibility.
Yes.
So now, according to the SENS announcement that was published on 22nd August, the performance was obviously stronger due to increased disposable income. That's one of the things that attributed
disposable
to
at the
time. This obviously, the results were quite encouraging, and it showed a 22% increase in the clear beer, you know, consumption. You know, it's we call it a bit of an oxymoron, because you've got regulators that are grappling with you know, balancing increase you know, the increase in alcohol abuse on the one side, but then again, you also want, you know, these companies to be, you know, to be profitable. But obviously, you know, Zambia obviously saw the introduction of new drinks like Stella Artois, Budweiser, you know, which obviously now seen
Stella Artois is that part of the
yes, it's also part of the So now, so no, but then when we looked at the financials, the half year financials, of note, there was a 21% growth in sales for Ego Lager. Now, Ego Lager is a very, very special beer. This is the beer that's grown from cassava. Now, if you see, if interdependencies, if you look at the interdependencies in the economy, you'll probably notice that there's been a surge in cassava sales, especially in the northern part of the country, which is one of some of the biggest producers. And I've chatted to, you know, some people in and around the company, and they've said that, no, look, they've had an aggressive push to, you know, acquire. So there's, you know, small farmers who go in and supply this beer. So it's actually creating employment. And it's a very cheap beer because it uses locally, you know, a locally grown grown ingredients. Now, obviously, on the soft drink side, because of there was obviously a decline that was a thing that was witnessed, and this is obviously because they sold part of part of their business. I'll have you know that, you know, it wasn't just Coca-Cola and your Fantas and your Sprites that were sold, but there are others that were not sold that were also part of the portfolio as well.
Are they now still part of the portfolio? Or they
some actually leaving, like your Mayeo, I think it's been on its way out. Okay. So, you know, this now obviously at half year they'd managed to obviously grow their profitability by 9%, notably operating exchange rate gains stood at over 1,000%. Because of the currency fluctuation, which favored them at half year.
Yes, it is.
So, you know, the operating profit came in 88% higher, which led to a profit after tax of about 137 million, which was a 123% increase from the same time last year.
So are you quoting in dollars or
Kwacha? This is Kwacha now. So now, you know, this performance is obviously outstanding for a not so new managing director. They've got a guy called Jose Moron. Jose Moron took over the reins from Annabelle de Groot in August 2017. So he's fairly new on the block, and I'd really love to meet him and just find out, you know, from him, because it looks like he's an InBev person. And he came in now to oversee, you know, the completion of the sale of
Where InBev from? Are they European?
They're European. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but obviously they've got huge presence in America. But they own breweries all over the world. So now, you know, it's the only thing that we obviously observed was you know, Jose obviously might want to rein in some of their current liabilities. This is obviously the money that they own, you know, like in the short term,
like what, local suppliers,
exactly,
and stuff like that.
Exactly. Yeah. So that we saw like an 108% increase in that. So,
it's a big one. Do you think it's because they're now focusing a lot on making their own stuff and so on?
Exactly. Yeah. So I would not be surprised, but obviously we would have to look at the final year financials, because obviously they're now embedding themselves in local local businesses. But then again, you also have to look at what the CFO's decision, the chief financial officer's decision, whether it's now opting for, you know, less long-term debt and more in the short-term debt. But this is basically decisions around working capital money management. But then, you know, we actually see a situation where, you know, like there might be obviously a turnaround in Q3 and Q4, depending on how things go. Now, obviously, one of the other issues that that we raised an eyebrow was, you know, August inflation had risen, from about 7.8 to 8.1. Mm-hmm. And according to Central Statistics Director, the increase in inflation is mainly influenced by rising prices for both food and non-food items. Mm. But however, you know, with we in the article itself, we obviously talked about, you know, issues around the IMF, and I believe the IMF are actually in town having discussions. So basically, in terms of fiscal issues, these are some of the things that might end up influencing how Zambrew closes its year this year. So yeah, so we'll be keeping an eye on this company come year end.
Zambrew, I'm not mistaken, well, I have the numbers here, they are one of the higher priced companies on the stock exchange, right?
Yes, they are.
Oh, no, actually, no. They're below 10 Kwacha.
Oh, they are. Oh, yes.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, they're below 10 Kwacha. There was actually some trade activity on them today. Well, I'm very interested to see like what this will mean like in the long term for them as well, because for me, hearing that, it didn't even really click. And I mean, I think we all knew, because we did see that there was a kind of distancing.
Yes.
But yes, hearing it that, oh yeah, Zambrew is no longer working with Coke.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, okay, let's see what these guys are going to do now. You
absolutely
know what I mean? Yeah.
Absolutely.
But it looks like they have a plan
The plan is already there. Yeah. And you know, when we have a chance to get a hold of the annual report, we'll actually be able to decode the nuances in the numbers.
Yeah.
And this is what Financial Insight are good at.
Yeah.
So we will look at the income statement. We will look at the balance sheet. We'll look at how the numbers have moved, how they've been managing their working capital. capital. That always gives an indication in terms of what sort of strategy that they've actually come up with.
So when you put on your investment savvy hat, so what are you telling somebody who asks you, like, are you like a hold off person? Are you like, well, they're worth looking at, or are you saying, like,
I would say, you know, they are definitely worth looking at, because obviously InBev means business. When InBev came in, they were very specific, got rid of assets that they didn't know how to manage.
Sure.
They don't
and
have
you, and you tend to like that.
Yes, I love it, yeah, because then the management team is focused, because you don't want to have an asset in your portfolio that you know you have no clue of how to make it successful. And all the more reason that they had to get rid of Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
But you know, credit to the parent company coming on board and taking it over. We still have Coca-Cola in our shelves. We have not felt any effect. The only thing that is just, you know, in the supply chain. So chances are that then now you start to see the reconfiguring of how
How you buy, like, exactly, if you bought wholesale, you probably buy from a different place now, and absolutely, so on and so forth. Yeah. All right, excellent.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Let's go to another short break. You have another company for us, don't you?
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to go another short break, and we'll be right back with Outside In at Money.